Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Lion Nation, welcome to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System, your home for all things Lion sports on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Welcome to this week's episode of Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System. I'm Damon Sundy. Thanks for joining us today. Our guests on this episode include baseball coach Bobby Barbier, Lady Lion basketball coach Jeff Dow, and men's basketball coach David Kiefer. All this is coming your way next on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System. When we return, Tyler Thomas sits down with head coach Jeff Dow.
We'll be right back on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System.
University Donuts is a proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics in the Lion community. University Donuts offers breakfast and lunch options weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and weekends from 6:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Located less than 1 mile from campus at 1215 West University Avenue, University Donuts is available by phone at area code 985-542-1588 or online at facebook.com/universitydonuts. University Donuts, proud to support your Southeastern Lions. Lion up!
Hi, I'm Nancy Landry.
No matter what part of our great state you call home, Louisiana's elections are an important part of who we are. In 2026, closed party primaries will change how some of those elections happen, so you'll want to know what to do. Keeping your registration current ensures you'll get the right party-based ballot. Remember, this change only applies to certain offices.
To learn more, visit govote.com or download the GoVote app.
Paid for by the Louisiana Secretary of State's office.
You're listening to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. I'm joined by women's basketball coach Jeff Dow. Coach, welcome back to the show. A couple tough games on the road, and what is probably distance-wise your toughest road trip of the year. Just talk about the past couple games.
Yeah, that you're right about that road trip. That's a tough one. We started out, of course, at East Texas A&M, and, you know, it's probably a 7.5-8 hour, you know, bus ride. There's really no easy way to get to Greenville's where you actually stay. There's not really a hotel in Commerce, but in that game Thursday night, they were red hot. You know, they had come in winning four in a row. We had won, of course, our last two, the UIW and Houston Christian game, and really kind of a back and forth game until fairly late. Rewatching the film, a little over 7 minutes left in the game, we have the ball, we're down one. You know, we have a chance. You know, you have a chance to take the lead, and obviously didn't, unfortunately, and just kind of had a tough 2 or 3 minute stretch, and you know, now all of a sudden you're down 8 or 10 and kind of playing uphill a little bit. But again, it was a competitive game. Like I said, just didn't quite do enough. Obviously, we had beat them at our place, you know, way back in November, and they're playing well. I mean, they've improved. They've changed their lineup around, kind of similar to what we're going to be doing here starting tomorrow night. Playing a little bit smaller with four guards, and I think it's really helped them out.
And you talked about that game in Commerce. Well defended, and especially in the first half. I mean, it was 22-22, locked in. But when you hold the other team to 26, you need to score some points on the other end. Just talk about the offense. Kind of just it seemed like there were a little bit of woes here and there.
Yeah, just some stretches. You know, where simply put, you're not making shots. And again, I not to be redundant, I'm sure we've said this, or I've said this to you before, but if you're not making field goals, and I kind of somewhat jokingly say, like, well, what's available, ladies? Well, O-boards. If you're not making shots, then we got to go find a way to get O-boards. And then that plus, well, let's get to the free throw line. And and not enough of an impact on that area. I vividly remember at halftime, as you said, low scoring game. And again, part of that excites me a little bit because I know we're guarding. You know, if we're keeping them into the low 20s, then at least I know we're doing a good job there. And we're probably also doing a good job on the boards. And at second chance points, it was 2-2, you know, at the half. So, of course, we want to get more than two, but at least we've held them to two. Well, and there's a direct correlation to, you know, the final result and that disparity, as there often is, and just didn't have enough. You know, by design, we've had to rely probably a little bit more from shooting threes, you know, in particular from, of course, Leahy and Mia Ramos and Leah Collins and a few of the others as well, but just not having as much of a rim presence. And then, unfortunately, in that game, we lost Bethany Graves as well, who's, you know, arguably our best low post presence now with you know, having lost Aaron McKenzie for the season and our best offensive rebounder. So that was kind of a significant blow, not just for the rest of that game, but for the next one as well.
And you held them. They're a 3-point shooting team. Right. You held them to a low percentage, and I thought you guys closed out pretty well in a lot of those threes. Yep. Kept them on the perimeter, and you didn't let them get to the paint in the first half. And is that kind of the goal, just trying to force them to take those shots?
It is, and that's actually, you know, overall. I mean, last time I checked, I know there was we had a slight advantage on 3-point field goal percentage. I want to say by 2 or 3%, even if we had fewer attempts, and some of that is by design, because again, and we've been playing more zone, you know, both the 1-3-1 zone and the 2-3 matchup zone, again, because of our smallish stature, you know, if you will, around the rim, and to some extent you're almost trying to bait the opponent, if you will, you know, into settling for threes, which when they're doing that, in a lot of cases that means they're probably not getting as many paint touches. It probably keeps them off the free throw line. And now a lot of that, of course, you still got to close out hard, contest a shot, and then of course it comes down to a lot of cases, all right, and then do we come up with a rebound? You know, you got to finish your defense, and so you know, like I said, had a drop off in the second half, unfortunately, there, and then coupled with going through a stretch where we just couldn't buy a bucket.
Yeah, and moving on to the Northwestern State game, you had 6 points in the first quarter, and they kind of just came out and they did a lot of things well, but you guys kind of got a defensive bounce back in the second. We've talked about this a lot, but it really has impressed me, the attitude of this team when they're down, right, to not be out.
Yes, I agree. I mean, we, all season long, and you're frustrated, you know, that you have a, you know, maybe you gave up a 10-0 run, but they continue to be resilient. And, honestly, you can go through the entire schedule. And again, as I always kind of jokingly say to you, I know how sports works. Like, you got to play four quarters together. But I mean, so many of these games, I mean, there's typically three of the four quarters. It's very competitive. I mean, the margin might be slim, you know, if there is a deficit. In some cases, we outscored them in three.
Yeah.
But again, a lot of times it's one quarter, or to be exact, sometimes a 3 or 4 minute stretch. Same thing with Northwestern State. You know, I thought, again, we bounced back and kind of steadied ourselves. But again, the rebounding piece of it, they, you know, significantly out-rebound. I think they ended up, I think it was 16-0, that big of a deficit. Tyler, let's be honest. That's really probably just about the margin. I don't remember what the final margin was, but it's probably not much different than that. And it puts so much stress on everything else. You know, you've got to be great offensively if you're not going to get old boards. And, you know, now you've got to win the free throw game, the turnover game. There's so many different things that you've got to exceed at to overcome getting outscored 16-0 on second chance points.
And then looking at the bright side of all this, you've gotten a really good stretch from Malia Collins this past few. And she's really grown into a great leader, not only on the court, but it seems off the court as well. Did you see flashes of that when, you know, you coached her earlier in her career, you know, when she was a little bit younger?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I go back as far back as prior to her senior year of high school. Ironically, we were at a tournament recruiting in July, and I was flying in that day. My assistant coaches were there when she tore her ACL for the first time, you know, but prior to her senior year. Of course, we stuck with her, ended up signing her her freshman year. I always tell people, you know, she was wearing the brace, much like she is now. Still, you know, was certainly effective. Sophomore year, she's a little bit healthier and quicker, you know, ends up second team all conference, you know, her sophomore year for us, at her second year at UIW. And then unfortunately tears the same ACL again, you know, last year. And I was telling Leahy Azuri the other day, and I said, look, I know what the quick version of Puff looks like. I said, just trust me. And she was blown away that this isn't the quickest version. I said, yeah, just wait till a year from now. You'll see. And but it takes time to overcome that. And you know, there's times where I feel like I know we put a lot on her plate, and there's even more set plays that we put in this week to try to get her getting downhill and creating opportunities for her to get to the rim or even a short pull-up, or at the very least for her to have a kick-out opportunity to our three-point shooter. But, but you know, you obviously got to adjust to what you have or maybe what you don't have. And like I said, we don't have a lot of low post presence or not much of, so we've got to find a way to generate points. And I think Aaliyah's done a great job of balancing that and still manage to get assists and to go with it as well.
You spoke on Leahy Azuri. You've been doing something recently where you've been bringing her in as the sixth person off the bench. Have you seen a boost in energy with the second line? Has that paid in dividends a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. And that was kind of how I you know, presented it to her and say, okay, you know, a lot of times at that, you know, the 6 minute mark or even the media timeout in the first quarter in women's basketball around the 5 minute, you know, teams are going to start subbing. And I've done this before, you don't necessarily always start your five best players, your five best scorers, and just was really kind of looking for sort of a punch, a boost, you know, off the bench. Yeah. And then maybe we're bringing in something that's a little bit better, you know, than what the opponent is bringing in. And it really hasn't really affected her overall minutes, you know, that much. Now we're going back to putting her back in the starting lineup. And you know, we're going to a smaller lineup, you know, starting tomorrow night with Corpus. And I don't want to sound like a tone of resignation, but Tyler, we're not really rebounding particularly well, regardless of how big or small we are. So we're going small, you know, tomorrow night. We hope to be a little more skilled on the perimeter, a little bit better shooting on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds like we're just trying to outscore them. To an extent, we are.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll adapt in terms of how we, as I kind of promised the four guards that are starting, I said, we won't let you get overwhelmed in terms of size, and we'll probably play more zone to kind of protect them a little bit in terms of what they're giving up. But but they, at the same time, Corpus oftentimes will have four guards on the court, much like East Texas A&M did. So you can kind of manipulate the lineup in terms of matchups and all that kind of thing too, to kind of, like I said, protect your players in that regard.
Yeah, and you talked about home game tomorrow night against Corpus in the UC. This is a team that, when you went to Corpus, played very hard. And you guys are two very, you know, even like very, very similar teams as far as situations concerned and everything around it. Just talk about the game tomorrow night, especially now with a little bit of change in your lineup.
Yeah, tough one. I mean, that was a game we had an 8-point lead late in the first half. They go on a little 4-0 run to end the half. So we're still up four, but then just, again, what I just talked about earlier, a bad third quarter. We get outscored 22-5. Obviously, it got bigger. You know, in the fourth quarter, I think we were down 16. Next thing you know, we got it all the way down to a one-possession game, you know, in the final minute. We had a pretty decent look from three, you know, at the buzzer to send it into overtime. Didn't go, but again, both teams have changed a little bit. Unfortunately, we've lost Aaron McKenzie and Bethany Graves since we played that game.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of some similar styles, and we're probably both going to lean heavily into shooting threes. Like I said, we're both going to be playing four guards a lot, but you know, this time of year, you know, we kind of talked about this before practice this morning that, look, it's their stuff. They probably know our stuff. It's late. You know, you still got to, the effort's got to be there, the attention to detail. You know, we've got two home games left. This is the second to last home game. Let's obviously do everything we can. And we've had a loyal contingent of fans that through thick and thin, they've continued to show up, and let's reward them and play, you know, incredibly hard.
And so you're in the final stretch of the season now. From day one of practice to now, just talk about the resiliency of this team to not only have, you know, gone down so hard at the beginning of the year, but all the things that they've bounced back from and fought through this year.
Yeah, and it's been it's tough. You know, I mean, I obviously almost week to week, you know, I was joking with our athletic trainer, Shawana, when she called the other day, and I said, okay, only good news. You know, but we've had to adjust in so many ways. Again, we have 9 players suited up, you know, for tomorrow night's game, maybe 10, you know, on Saturday. But obviously players that have had to, their roles have adjusted or they've had to adapt. Their position, you know, has had to adjust. You know, they were a 2-guard. Well, now it's next thing you know, they're playing the 4. And the wings that are having to play the 4 and just kind of adapt on the fly. And they've been receptive to it. Again, there's some, like I said, so many games where they would have every reason, to be honest with you, Tyler, just human nature being what it is, they'd have every reason to fold at the end of the first quarter or at halftime, you name it, and they have it. You know, they keep bouncing back and they keep competing. And again, as cliche as it may sound, that's all you can ask for as a coach. It's just if your competitive level gives you a chance. I know it doesn't guarantee you're going to make shots or come up with every rebound. You know, the other team, you know, their girls are on scholarship too. You know, they're playing hard, obviously. But there's been so many games where I've been every bit as proud of them in defeat as I have been in some of the games that we've won, quite honestly.
It's been a tough year, but it's been one that, you know, there's been a lot of positives,
right.
And that's something that, you know, someone who looks at a record may not see.
Right. Well, and again, is I know we've touched on all 3 of them, but, you know, playing 3 freshman guards a lot, you know, and in some cases they've started together in Lehi Azuri, Natalie Huff, Mia Ramos. Well, you know, especially in college basketball and maybe even more so on the women's side, it is very much a guard-driven game. And, you know, especially when you have a 30-second shot clock, a lot of times they've got to make plays, they've got to make decisions. They're kind of at the forefront of your defense, if you will. So they all 3 of those guys, and of course, they've had some ups and downs, but it's only going to make them better. You know, it's going to make them better players, make us a better team in the future. You know, a young lady like Erin McKenzie, who unfortunately, you know, has been sidetracked for the past month, but seeing the ascension that she made, you know, and I had her as a freshman at UIW, and she's more of a wing, probably our 8th and 9th man there, and all of a sudden, you know, she shows up here. Now she's playing the 4, you know, sometimes the 5. You know, her last game of the season, ironically, was against Corpus. She had 22 points in that game. She had multiple double-doubles. So, again, hoping she has the opportunity to, you know, continue to play and get healthy. So there are some things that are obviously exciting, you know, down the road in terms of just hope the expected continued growth and development that we anticipate seeing from our players.
Coach Jeff Dow and the Lady Lions host Texas A&M Corpus Christi tomorrow night in University Center, and then they'll host UTRGV and the Vaqueros Saturday. We'll be right back here on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System.
Hampton and Hammond is a proud supporter of Lion Athletics and the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Hampton and Hammond is located 3 miles from Southeastern Louisiana University at 401 Weston Oaks Drive. The Hampton and Hammond offers 81 rooms and features Wi-Fi, a fitness center, an outdoor pool, and hot breakfast options. More information on Hampton and Hammond is available at area code 985-419-2188. The Hampton and Hammond, proud supporter of Lion Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Rainbow Daiquiris is a proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Rainbow Daiquiris has been serving in the Hammond area since 1984. Located at 14384 West Thomas Street in Hammond, Rainbow Daiquiris offers a variety of daiquiris and beer, plus pool tables with late hours. Rainbow Daiquiris, proud supporters of Lion Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Let's get back to the action. This is Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Well, welcome back inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System. Damon Sunday sitting in with you. We're talking with head baseball coach Bobby Barbier now. And, Coach, off to a little bit of a rough start here, but you've played some really good competition to open up the season. And you also had some individual performances, kind of a silver lining in all of this. But first off, this Kent State ball club that you saw for three games over the weekend, they could hit, they could pitch, and they could chase it down in the outfield, which to me I think was probably the most impressive out of all of it, because they probably hadn't been outside that much, and there was not a ball that dropped in the outfield.
No, they played great. I mean, I've told multiple people that. I don't think I've ever had a team play as well as they played against us for three straight games.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they made every play. They executed every pitch. It was a good learning experience for our guys to show what it's supposed to look like. We're used to winning some ball games here, you know, and
exactly.
Have had good teams. And we didn't play as well as we'd like, you know, obviously. But it was we get a bunch of new guys in the lineup and getting them to learn, you know, kind of how we want to do things, getting the dugout to how we want to act and how we want to be in the game and all those things. And we had a very formidable opponent to get used to those things. So it was, give them the credit. You know, we need to be better, obviously. Mm-hmm. But they deserve a lot of credit for how they played opening weekend.
Both teams won 38 games a year ago, 20-plus games in conference. Both teams won conference titles. Where do you think they rank or compare, I guess I should say, to what we see week in and week out in the Southland?
I mean, I think they're top of the conference. I mean, top – just think about last year's conference race, you know, mm-hmm. top two or three teams. You know, they did really well. I mean, I thought they just played together. You know, they had seven returners in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. You know, all the pitchers that threw against us were, I think, except one, all pitched there last year, too. So it was, besides the one Texas transfer. But there was just, I thought they did a really nice job playing together and looked like they were on game 40, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's good for our team to have that happen now than and see some things that we really
right,
need to work
exactly.
on than to happen in week seven, you know, and that's, you know, kind of sets us back. And so love our team. I mean, I really do. I mean, if we put up talent for talent, I think we're there. I think we got to grow more as a team and we got to play more games. You know, I wish we could play again tomorrow. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, we got to keep growing and keep getting out there and playing ball games.
Well, I mean, you kind of saw that last night against Southern Miss. The number 20 ranked team in the nation comes in. That's a scoreless ball game going back and forth. I mean, the lines are identical going into the seventh inning. Both teams have two hits, you know, and it's good hitters that are being stifled by good pitching last night. And, you know, even when they do hit the leadoff homer in the seventh inning, nobody panics.
Yeah.
And then you turn around, you tie it up in the bottom of the eighth. And, you know, it's one of those games that just comes down to the wire. But that was a really good ball game last night. If you like to watch baseball games, well-pitched ball games. But, you know, overall, you know, the talent level jumps up a little bit there against Southern Miss, and you go toe-to-toe with them as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could take out a lot of good things from all four games. You know, mm-hmm. I think we played errorless baseball in three of the four.
Mm-hmm.
And we made them all the errors in one inning, you know, in the other one. We punch out the other team. I think we're averaging 10 a game against really good competition. Now we also probably average five or six walks a game, which we got to clean that up, you know. And those games like last night, so midweek games against good teams, when both teams are going to throw a lot of pitchers, can go mm-hmm. one or two ways, and they normally do, because if the guy's out of the bullpen, they normally have good matchups. Mm-hmm. Like you saw every time the two big lefties came up top of the lineup, they faced the left-hander for the first seven innings of the game.
Yeah.
And maybe those aren't left-handers that we're going to pitch a ton, but it's a good matchup. So if those guys pitch well, then it's normally going to be rough on the offense because they're facing bad matchups because you're throwing so many guys.
Right.
I thought our guys did great. You know, again, threw a few too many balls, but I thought especially those lefties came in against, I mean, Morrison and Big Boy from Mandeville. I mean, they're two of the best hitters in the South. You know, I mean, they're really good, you know. And I thought we did a nice job there. They had good arms, and they get the same thing, right, when they match up against us a little bit. And, you know, I mean, they threw – you knew kind of if they had a lead, you were going to see – the lefty, Sibley, Och, and Clark, you know, mm-hmm. at the end, that's their three guys, and they're three guys on number 18 team in the country for a reason.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's got to make you feel good that you go into a midweek, you know you're going to see a bunch of arms, but you made them throw their weekend guys last night to pick up a win middle of the week.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, again, I mean, I think if you look, you know, player for player, I mean, and we switch uniforms, I don't think you can tell a whole lot of difference. I mean, you're watching it from up there. You know, maybe I'm biased, you know, and because I love our guys. So it's just a matter of us kind of putting a few things together, tightening it up a little bit on the mound. Need more strikes, right? Definitely need more strikes. You know, got strikeout stuff, you know, but, you know, need to get ahead in the count a little more. I think some of the damage we've given up has been behind the count some. So at the plate, need to limit the strikeouts. You know, I mean, too many times last night. If you move half of those balls that we punched out on, maybe you get something to fall. You know, I feel like we're on the back end of on the bottom end of fortune when it comes to getting them to fall right now. But if you get more balls put in play, you get more to fall. You know, and we got to understand that and do a little better job with two strikes.
Talking with head coach Bobby Barbier and coach, you had obviously a lot of real good pitching performances last night, but a couple that kind of stood out. Obviously, Nick Toops in that starting role last night kind of gave us a preview of a big, hard throwing left hander. Does he remain a midweek starter? Do you foresee a role for him on the weekend? What are we looking at for Nick Toops here over at least the next month or so?
Yeah, man, I think right now it's you know, he'll start against, I think, South Al next week. You know, I mean, who knows, though? I mean, you know, it's 93-95 with three pitches.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, need some more strikes, but you can tell how much of a problem he is for hitters when they get in there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I thought he did a really nice job of something that has been a problem for him is when it kind of got away from him a little bit, he was able to rein it back in and make some pitches. And in the past in his career, sometimes it gets away from him and you got to go get him, you know. And for him to have thrown on Friday this past weekend and then bounce back and give us 50 or 60, however many pitches he gave us for the three innings, I thought it was pretty special. And it showed his growth that he's had since he's been here. So proud of him, man. I mean, proud of him. We talked about him before and just in the pregame show, just – how he's changed his body, how he's changed his attitude, how he's changed the way he pitches. I mean, he's gotten so much better, and hopefully we can see him grow over the course of the season.
Well, one guy that you'd also like to see grow, and maybe we saw it in the course of two outings so far, but Logan Frache, you know, it was a rough outing in his debut through no fault of his own, really. You know, some errors behind him. How many outs did he get in that inning?
Right.
He probably got five outs in that inning. But he bounced right back against Southern Miss, and he came out. And you know, when you got a guy coming out of the bullpen later in a ball game, then all of a sudden's pumping at 92, 93, that wakes the hitters up a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, and those aren't fastballs; those are cutters. You know,
they're nice.
So it makes it a little harder to hit. You know, I probably did a poor job, and like you said, of throwing him into the fire, the absolute fire, when we had our first lead of the season. But he pitched great, and he had bad fortune, and he still pitched great. And he picked me up there. You know, if I had to do it again, I'd probably go to a little more experienced guy, even though I thought he was the best option for what he can do. And then, so I really wanted to get him a clean inning today. I mean, he had to throw again. I mean, that was a plan, him throw one inning both days. And, man, he's just got good stuff. He's made right. He's athletic. I mean, he's everything you want in a young pitcher. And, yeah, he's going to pitch very meaningful innings for us. He's got a trick pitch, and I say trick pitch. It's not a 68-mile-an-hour loopy curveball. It's a 92, 93 cutter, and then he can run that fastball. I think he's up 96 first weekend, and that nice slider. He's only going to get better as he's here.
Over the weekend, and focusing on pitching right now, but you had some really good long relief outings with from Caleb Howell and Luke Lorette. Luke, as a guy that's just kind of gets thrown into some roles, and he thrives. And then you got Caleb, who I mean you don't see it that much anymore in pro baseball, but back growing up, there were guys that thrived in that long relief role. They just You know, that was the way they Major League Baseball built their pitching staffs back then. And he really reminds me a lot of those kind of guys that, you know, he's built for multiple innings at a time and, you know, probably could be a starter, but, you know, really thrives coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, and both of those guys are similar in that way, but much different pitchers and people. I mean, Luke is the ultimate competitor. I mean, you know, I mean, he wants to rip your face off every time he's on the mound. you know, he had the breaking ball going with the riding fastball, you know, and when he has those two going, he's really difficult to hit. And Caleb, I mean, he was – so the thing Caleb does, he's a much different fastball than Brady. Mm-hmm. So like it's completely different look, even though they're both right-handed. It's a much different look. So we kind of like him following Brady or following a guy that throws a really good four-seam because he can really sink it. He wasn't super sharp as far as his breaking ball and changeup that he's developed over the past year being there for him. But it shows you how good his fastball is because he was able to kind of pitch against a really good lineup with the fastball. And, I mean, all these roles are important. You know, like it's getting to see a bunch of guys yesterday in different roles and matching up versus the lefties and then getting to see Dakota Lee. I mean, Dakota hadn't pitched in forever, you know, and Tristan and, you know, getting to see those guys out there competing really hard in a cool atmosphere on Mardi Gras night was fun. The wins aren't there yet. You know, we know it. And when it has to, we got to do it. You know, we got to win some games, but I'm proud of the effort and proud of the work that's been put into it and really proud of the attitude afterwards, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't see panic. I don't see blaming. You know, that's what can happen when you lose a few games in a row, especially to start the season. And even though you're playing good teams, you'll win. You know, and I think our guys are doing a really good job. But I had nobody in my office yet asking about why they're not playing. You know, like like those things that can splinter a team when it's not going well. We're doing a good job of that, and really think the wins are about to start coming.
Well, you got SIUE coming in this weekend. It's been a couple of years since they've come to Hammond. I think it was 22 the last time they came down. But, you know, a team that competes in, what is this, the OVC, right, I think, and, you know, decent baseball conference. What do you know about the Cougars?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see this myself. Somebody told me they were picked third. They played a low-scoring weekend against North Alabama. I'm going to get into the nuts and bolts of the video here right after I leave here and get to look at it. But going to be a good team, I would assume. You know, I mean, they play in a nice conference in the OVC and have done a good job recently. And got to play good baseball. It's just going to be about – it's a weekend about us. You know, I mean, it's a weekend about – Brady getting us off to a good start. The relievers come in and throwing strikes, getting better at bats, the plate, you know, guys that may get opportunities this weekend that hadn't gotten them yet, just playing ball and not pressing to know. Yeah. You know, sometimes when that happens, if I don't get a hit, I'm not going to get back in there kind of mentality. And I think Brooks right. I mean, he's had two really good at-bats and his two opportunities.
Right.
And he deserves to be in there, you know. And it's hard because we've got really good players out there, you know. But he deserves to be in there somewhere. And he'll get some more opportunities this weekend. So, I'm excited to play. I mean, I know it's, you know, I'm sure you've had a lot of these that the coach is a little down. And I'm not happy with losing games.
Right.
But I'm also, I think we have good perspective of what's going on. And getting these new guys in the lineups, some at bats, and I'm excited to get out there and play again.
Well, and honestly, sometimes it's the difference in the structure of the sport. You know, if it were football, you know, that's what, you know, 10-20% of your season's gone. Here,
correct,
we've played like 5% of the season. So
that's right.
You know, put it all in perspective. But, looking forward to this weekend against SIUE. Coach, we'll see you out at the ballpark this weekend.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, we'll be back in just a few minutes. This is Inside Southeastern Athletics presented by North Oaks Health System.
We'll be right back on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System.
Chyna Hammond is a proud supporter of Lion Athletics and the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Chyna is located in downtown Hammond at 123 South Kate Street, less than a mile from the SLU campus. Chyna serves locally sourced Italian comfort foods made with house-cured meats, fresh produce, and handmade pasta. More information on Chena is available on their website at cenahammond.com. Chena Hammond, proud supporters of Lion Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
I didn't grow up wanting to be addicted to drugs.
I started using because it was fun.
I used because it eased my pain.
My whole life became centered in drugs.
I tried to quit on my own or with help from medicine, religion, and psychiatry. But at some point, I always found myself going back.
It wasn't until I found others with the same problem as me that I was able to stop.
So I joined Narcotics Anonymous, a fellowship of people in recovery.
Call us at 585-366-8873. Find a meeting at larna.org.
You're listening to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Yep, good to go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. I'm here joined by men's basketball coach David Kiefer. And, Coach, welcome back to the show. Obviously, you dropped two on the last road trip. Just talk about that road trip and those games over the past weekend.
Yeah, very, very frustrating. Also, obviously, wanted to get those two teams. You know, we're battling for that eighth spot. And both of those, obviously, go down there with a must-win mentality and kind of give it away late in the game just with bonehead stuff. Very frustrating. And then going to East Texas A&M and just probably playing one of the worst games we've played all season. Very frustrating, obviously, at this point in the season to be making some of the mistakes that we've made in those games. You know, when things kind of not going for you well for you and you're not winning, things kind of snowball effect. But you know, I think we had a good practice today, and I think the guys are still, you know, fighting, still battling, staff still fighting and battling, and you know, we still got plenty of time left to kind of turn it around and get a couple wins here. But obviously, you know, especially going back to the Northwestern State game, the way that ended, very frustrating, and something that we work on a lot that didn't go our way and didn't really do what we work on. So, again, you know, the lack of discipline late in those game situation, and it falls directly on me, and it's not acceptable. It's got to be better.
And you talked about that game. Jalen Forrest had an incredible game, 26 yep. points in 26 minutes, gave you a chance to get a win at the end of the game. Just talk about his performance, and he's really elevated his play as the season's gone on.
Yeah, he has, and it starts in practice and just his overall focus and attention to detail, things that I think, you know, Jalen, and it's a lot of these guys, you know, you go through this transfer portal time, and you're getting a lot of times guys that have been in bunch of different programs and guys that kind of bounced around a little bit, and that's Jalen has kind of done that. This is his fourth school in 4 years, and just trying to get some of those bad habits out of some of the guys, and you know, just getting him to practice and getting him just to be given his consistent effort and just be an everyday guy. And that's something he kind of struggled with, and Jalen here in the last month or so has really kind of switched that light on, and you know, just been more of an everyday guy, and you can see translate to the game, and he's been really good. Had a good day in practice today, and we all see how talented he is, you know, coming in as, you know, a guy that was an all-conference player in his previous league, but you know, coming from some programs where he hadn't never really won before, and just going through and learning how to win and learning how to make the winning plays. It's not all just about on the offensive end, and he's starting to understand that, and that's exciting for the next four games for him.
And obviously that game against Northwestern State, we talked about it. It was a tough loss in a game that you had done a lot right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have an opportunity right there at the end, about 6 seconds left. You have it in Jeremy's hands. Just talk about what went wrong in that final play.
Yeah, and it goes back to, obviously, the previous play. We called timeout with up 10 seconds. And in the timeout, we're just talking about playing a 5-on-5 game, keeping the basketball in front of us. And obviously, Thomas for the other team had gotten us on a you know, two or three drives in transition, just throwing his body in front of him and throwing his head back. But, you know, that's what good players do. And I've had some pretty good guards in the past year, Keon Clairgeau, Boogie Anderson, guys that knew how to do that type of stuff and just draw fouls and create contact. And Mikhail would be the first one to tell you, just not a smart play. We talked about not, you know, lunging in the backcourt, just keeping the ball in front of you in the timeout and just trying to square him up. But again, that falls on me when we don't do it. We're teaching, obviously, you know, it's got to be it's got to be communicated better. It has to be repped better, and has to be done better, because that foul in that situation is not acceptable. Putting the best free throw shooter on the team in the line like that right after just a timeout and a big bucket by us to fight back and get that, it was unacceptable foul. And then coming back the other way, obviously didn't have any more timeouts. We ran a play, end of the game situation play, where we got some guys looping and get it to the guys in the guys' hands we want to, and just, you know, when a season is like this, you know, just it seems like anything, you know, just kicks it out of bounds, and it's just some things don't go right, and it just kind of feels like that snowball effect, but nothing can go right. But we talked about it today. Ultimately, you can listen to the noise and listen to the haters, or, you know, and feel sorry for yourself, or you can come back to work. That's the only thing I know to do is come back to practice, come back to work, come back to fight, be positive, and finish this thing out strong.
Yeah, and you end the road trip in Commerce, Texas, and that was a tough game from the start.
Yeah.
You guys shot 28% in the first half, and they shot over 50% from the game. Just talk about, you know, it almost felt like watching it. It came down to them making a lot of their shots versus the opposite, where we just couldn't buy one.
Yeah, I mean, we were right there at the rim. We had just a couple, I think we had four or five literally uncontested layups, just nothing going in. And, you know, when you're at the point of the season when you're not winning, you kind of question everything. You lose your confidence. You lose that edge. And obviously they come out and they banked a couple of threes. They were hitting some threes at the end of the shot clock. And we had some miscommunications, some leak out layups and dunks, things that we hadn't done all year, which was obviously very frustrating as a coach. You wish you could have a whistle and blow the whistle and just stop and start yelling and coaching in the middle of it. And you feel helpless at times standing on that sideline.
Mm.
But, you know, and stuff happens, and you got to get back. And we watch the film. We get down on the floor. We recreate some of those situations, recreate some of those scenarios, coach them, try to get them through it. And, you know, I think that's a film that we almost just, you know, throw away over and all, because that we haven't played like that from a full 40-minute game as bad as that all season. So that was very frustrating, obviously.
Yeah, we talked to Coach Dow earlier in the show about that road trip, and it's a tough road trip. Probably the longest driving road trip you've done this year. Obviously, you've flown far away, but that road trip with all the driving and, you know, how long you were gone, did that take an effect maybe?
No, I think, you know, everybody does those road trips. You know, our guys should be used to that. I think, you know, road games at any, whether it's 5 minutes down the road or 4 hours down the road, the road trips are always hard. And you got to hang your hat on defense and rebounding and just being super disciplined. And we didn't do a good job at that. You know, we got in there, the same routine as we always have. We played so many road games this year. I mean, 70% of our games are always on the road. That's not an excuse. Our team's better than that. Our program is better than that. And I'm not no excuse, no.
Yeah, and looking forward, you got two home games coming up, and you've played relatively well at home this year. You've won five games at home, and it's against two teams that you want to get back. You know, you had a tough game against UTRGV, and then obviously the game against Corpus. Just talk about coming back to Hammond. You're able to sleep in your own bed, get a couple games here in the University Center.
Yeah, for sure. Just, you know, going through all the, getting them at home. Obviously, we go to Rio Grande and started out real bad at their place and from the jump, and kind of fought back and, you know, get a chance to tie the game at the buzzer against one of the hottest teams in the country, just coming off a win against McNeese. And obviously they've already clinched the tournament. So big opportunity for us to get a Rio Grande Valley team in here, coming and making a long trip down this way and getting back to familiar territory with us. So obviously we shoot the ball much better at home. I think we got a little bit more juice at home. And, you know, I think we've shown to be a better basketball team for whatever reason that is at home. So I'm excited to get back in front of our own people, in front of our own baskets, and, you know, try to get a win at home.
And you get a chance to try to capitalize. Are you still very much alive in the conference tournament outlook?
For sure.
A chance to capitalize on maybe some late-season momentum to try to, you know, get back into that eighth spot maybe and just play your way into it, because it's very possible.
Yeah, for sure. It's just, you know, going through all the little details, you know, it's easy to make excuses or point blame or feel sorry for yourself or listen to the noise. But I think that's the easy route, you know. And we're going to put our feet in the sand. You know, we're gonna watch the film. We're gonna have some really good practices. We're gonna, you know, coach our guys up and try to turn this last four game around. You know, we haven't been in this territory before. You know, in the past 6 years, we've always been kind of in the mix, in the middle of the pack, top of the league. And, you know, this is kind of different territory for us. So, but we've got a mentality in this program, you know, you never beat, always recovering. So, you know, and we're not done until the last game's thrown and they tell us, look, you guys are out of it. You know, we've got a program here, guys that keep fighting, guys that are going to keep competing. And, I very much expect to see our team come out Saturday and have an edge about us and compete.
Yeah, and you've talked about hanging your hat on the defensive end at the games at home this year. I mean, you talk about the Lamar game, you know, you've had some really good defensive performances, and that this season is where you guys have been the most successful, I thought, is defending the basketball well, and you get a chance to kind of come back and get back to, you know, I'm not saying you went away from it too far, but you get it back to, you know, get into that momentum, get into that groove, playing defensive basketball here the last four games of the season in Louisiana.
Yeah, that's kind of where we, like you said, hang our hat. We're long, we're athletic. We got guys that, you know, that compete, and that's where we got to, you know, turn defense into offense. Sometimes we've really struggled, obviously, to score the basketball this year, and, you know, we haven't shot the ball great. And that's why I think sometimes in our press and trying to be disruptive and speed the game up a little bit and try to get our guys out to get quick and easy baskets, that's when we're best, you know, when we're holding teams to 28% like Lamar, 31% like we did to Incarnate Word, and we're able to get a and play off our misses and get Jeremy and Isaiah out in the open court, and Micaiah in the open court, and CJ pushing the ball and getting the pace. We're much better when we get our pace playing the way we need to, and it obviously starts with getting misses and limiting them to one shot.
Coach Kiefer and the Lions, two games this upcoming week, Saturday against UTRGV and then Monday night against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Coach, thanks for coming in.
Appreciate
Good luck this weekend. We'll keep watching. Hey, we'll turn it around.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
All right, we'll be back right here on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System.
University Donuts is a proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics and the Lion community. University Donuts offers breakfast and lunch options weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and weekends from 6:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Located less than 1 mile from campus at 1215 West University Avenue, University Donuts is available by phone at area code 985-542-1588 or online at facebook.com/universitydonuts. University Donuts, proud to support your Southeastern Lions. Lion up!
Hampton and Hammond is a proud supporter of Lion Athletics and the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Hampton and Hammond is located 3 miles from Southeastern Louisiana University at 401 Weston Oaks Drive. The Hampton and Hammond offers 81 rooms and features Wi-Fi, a fitness center, an outdoor pool, and hot breakfast options. More information on Hampton and Hammond is available at area code 985-419-2188. The Hampton and Hammond, proud supporter of Lion Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Piggly Wiggly is a proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics. Piggly Wiggly is located in Hammond and Independence and has been helping to bring home the bacon for millions of American families for over 100 years. Piggly Wiggly offers a variety of items for the holiday season. Located at 18150 US 190 and 345 West Railroad Avenue in Independence, Piggly Wiggly is available by phone at area code 985-345-7729. Piggly Wiggly, proud supporters of Southeastern Athletics on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Lion up!
You're listening to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Damon Sundy back in with you for just a bit here before we get out of here. We'll take a quick look at what's coming up on the calendar for your Lion and Lady Lions. Lady Lion basketball returns to the University Center for Thursday evening Southland Conference matchup with Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Tip-off for the annual Pink Out game is scheduled for 6 p.m. Friday, track and field is at the LSU Twilight in Baton Rouge. The two-time defending Southland Conference Tournament Champion softball squad will face the other SLU, that's St. Louis, along with Evansville and host Central Arkansas this weekend at the UCA Softball Tournament in Conway, Arkansas. Beach volleyball will face UAB, North Alabama, Georgia State, Cal State Bakersfield, and host Florida State this weekend at the Florida State Unconquered Invitational in Tallahassee, Florida. Saturday at 10 a.m., tennis hosts UT Chattanooga at the Southeastern Tennis Complex here in Hammond, and then travels down to New Orleans Sunday for a 2 p.m. match at Dillard. Our basketball programs host UTRGV in a senior day doubleheader Saturday in the University Center. The women tip at 1 and the men follow at 3:30. The defending Southland Conference champion baseball squad continues its 8-game homestand this weekend against Southern Illinois Edwardsville.
at Pat Connealy Diamond at Alumni Field. Kids 12 and under can stand on the field with their favorite Lion player for Friday Fun Day. First pitch for the series opener is at 6 p.m. Saturday, fans can play baseball bingo at the 2 o'clock game. And then the series wraps with Military Appreciation Day on Sunday at 1. Men's basketball wraps up their home slate Monday, hosting Texas A&M Corpus Christi in a whiteout. Tip-off is scheduled for 6 p.m. And finally, baseball hosts South Alabama Tuesday at 6 p.m. here in Hammond, America. All of the baseball action, along with Thursday's women's basketball and Monday's men's basketball games versus Texas A&M Corpus Christi, can be heard right here on KSLU 90.9 The Lion. Online at either lionsports.net/listenlive or lionupradio.org. Via the following apps, the Lions Game Day Experience, Live 365, iHeart, Odyssey, TuneIn, and MyTuner Radio, or on your Alexa speaker. All you need to do is enable the skill first and then say, Alexa, play KSLU. For Tyler Thomas, I'm Damon Sunday. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside Southeastern Athletics presented by North Oaks Health System. If you missed any part of it, the show will be archived online at both lineupradio.org and lionsports.net. We hope you have a safe and enjoyable week ahead. Don't forget, you can join us here each Wednesday at 5 p.m. on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.